This parak is a little bit of a continuation of the last one, where the angels are still fighting humanity. They don't want to give up the Torah so quickly. Okay, so let's go a little further into that Agarata in the Gemara and Shabbos. Yesh Lishol. And again, the questions are so good because it just reminds us, the questions are so strong. If you think about it, like, why would Hashem give the Torah, which is the most holy and pure and precious gift, to human beings who are so inconsistent and who are so human and are so gashmi? And the answer becomes time and time again that it's dafka our physicality, it's dafka our lowliness, and it's dafka our ability to choose and to make wrong choices, which makes our right choices meaningful. So yesh lishol, one can continue to ask. Again, in the last parak, we explained how Moshe Rabbeinu, using his amazing character, his midos, his anava, his humility, made him the most, you know, the most, because he's the most humble, he's the most accessible in terms of receiving the Torah, most worthy of receiving the Torah. But at the end of the day, he's still a human being. And the Torah is pure spirituality. So how does someone, even a Moshe, and all the more so all of us, how do we receive the Torah? Yesh lishol. HaTorah shehi seichel ha-pashut ha-elyon. Torah, which is pure godliness, pure the mind of God, as it were. Eich yeh davar zeh shiyeh la-adam. Shehu bal geshem v'chomer. How could it be that such a pure Torah could be given to a human being who is made of flesh and blood? He's a bal geshem, he's gashmias, he's chomer, he's physicality. Masha'eino nimtza l'malachei marom, which you don't find by the angels. So how could it be that Hashem chose, what, he took away the Torah from the angels to give it to us? How does that make sense? V'davar zehu safik. Interesting lashon. And this is certainly a doubt, certainly something to think about, something to consider. V'atshuva al zeh amru b'perek, Rabbi Akiva. So we come back to the Gemara in Shabbos. Amru Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, b'shah sha'ala Moshe l'marom, when Moshe ascended to receive the Torah, Amru Hamalachim, the angel said, Ma liyalud isha beneno. They spoke to him in a very derisive fashion. They said, What is this one who is born to woman amongst us? How did this human being, right, who has a physical mother, right, who was born to a woman of flesh and blood, how did he get in here? Amar Lahem, so Hashem said, Whoa, Chevra, angels, calm down. Lekabel Torah, ba, he's here to receive the Torah. Amru lo, so they said to Hashem, Chem de genuza yesh lecha, she genuza kodem sheshes yemei bereshes, tuf, kuf, ayin, dalet, doros. Hashem, I don't understand. Your chem de genuza, your most precious possession, which you have had prior to creation, 974 generations prior to creation, you had this Torah. So obviously, it's very precious. It's an antique. It's ancient. All right, it's an original. And now Atam Avaksha Lesais Levasar Vadam. And now you're gonna throw away your beautiful Torah and give it to mankind? Ma Enosh Kisis Karanu Uven Adam Kisif Kadanu. Quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim. The angel said, Who is man that you should bother with him? Why should you even remember him? He's not worth your time. Better yet, Tana Hotcha Al Hashamayim. Why not place your hod, your splendor, your glory, your beautiful Torah, keep it in the heavens. Well, at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was maybe having second thoughts. Kivyachol. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, Chazor Lehem Tshuva. Nu, Moshe, defend yourself. Give them an answer, Moshe. I don't know. Good question. Why do you deserve the Torah? Amar Lo, so Moshe says, I'm scared. These angels are not a small forced to mess with an angel. Amar lo misyare ani shelo yisrafuni behevel piem. I'm scared that they're going to burn me up with the fire of their breath. I can't respond. I can't talk back to angels. Amar lo. So Hashem says to Moshe, Achoz bekise kvodi v'achzer lahem tshuva. Grab onto my throne, and that will serve to protect you, and give them a response. Shenemar, quotes the pasuk in Iyov, me'achez p'nei kise. Parshez alav anano. So grab onto my throne, and then you'll be able to respond. Okay. So Moshe begins his defense. Amar lefanov. So Moshe says, talking to Hashem, but talking to the angels. Malamid shapirez shakai miziv before Hashem. Ribono sha'olam. Torah sha'ata nosen li maksiv ba. Moshe says, you know what? I'll make the case. Let's see what it says in the Torah and let's see who it's relevant to. What does it say in the Torah that you're giving me? It says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Me'aretz Yitzrayim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Amar Lahem, so Moshe looks at the angels, and he says, Chevra, angels, L'mitzrayim l'iradtem, L'paro nishabadtem, Torah l'malachem. You were never slaves, right? Very timely passage for us to learn. You weren't slaves in Mitzrayim. You didn't work for Paro. So, but Hashem is going to say to the Jewish people, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. He's not talking to you, angels. He's talking to us. Shuv maksivba. Furthermore, what does it say in the Torah? Lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim. Do not worship other gods. Other gods. Angels, you live in the presence of Hashem. We live in a world where some people think there are other gods. Bein areilam atem shruim. Do you live amongst the nations of the world? The screen has the version Akum. My edition here says areilam, uncircumcised ones. Right? But do you live in the presence of idol worshippers? Sha'ovdim avod zara? Shuv maksivba. Let's go further. Let's keep reading this Bible. Let's see what else it says in there. Zachar yom Shabbos. Keep the Shabbos. Don't work on Shabbos. Angels. Malacha atem osim. Shatem tzrichim Shabbos. Do you take the bus to Midtown Manhattan during the week that you deserve a Shabbos? No. So what does this have any relevance to? Shuv maksivba. What else does it say in the Torah? Lo sisa. When you're involved in a business dispute, don't take Hashem's name in vain. Masu matan yesh beinechem. Do you ever do business that you might come to swear or to utter Hashem's name in an inappropriate way? Shuv maksivba. What else does it say? Kaved es avicha vesimecha. Av ve'em yesh lachem. Do you have parents? None of this is relevant to you. Shuv ma'aksiva. What else does it say? Lo sirtzach, lo signov, kina yesh b'neichem, yetzerhara yesh b'neichem. You can't kill. You can't steal. You can't be jealous, right? You can't kidnap. You don't have taivas. You can't fulfill. Don't commit acts of adultery. None of this is relevant to you. Miyad hodu. Immediately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu, you win. Shenamar Hashem Adoneinu Ma Adir Shimcha V'chol La'aretz. Hashem, how beautiful would it be for you to what? To give over your name, which is the Torah itself, to the world. V'ilu Tnei Hodcha Al Shamayim Loksiv. But giving over your hod to the heavens is not how it's meant to be. Miyad Kol Echad Nasala Oev. When Moshe defended his position, immediately the angels all of a sudden said, wow, this guy's pretty good. Right? They all loved him. Umasar lo davar echad, and each one gave him a gift. Rashi explains each one taught him something. They taught him something as a sort of a reward. Shenemar alisa lamarom shavisa shevi lakachta matanos ba'adam. The pasuk says in Tehillim that you ascended to the heights of heavens, shavisa shevi, you captured a captive, you brought back, so to speak, something, namely the Torah. Lakachta matanos ba'adam. You took gifts. Ba'adam. What does it mean you took gifts? Ba'adam. You took gifts bishvil shekarucha Adam. Because they called you Adam, they said, you're just Adam. You're just from the Adama. You're from the dirt. Because they were scornful of Moshe. When Moshe proves himself to be very worthy of the Torah, so because they called you Adam, lakachta matanos. You were zochet to presence. And the Gemara concludes, va'af malach hamavis masel odavar. Even the malach hamavis gave him a bit of knowledge. Shenemar. As we see in Bamidbar Perek Yizayin, v'yitin aktores, v'yichaper al ha'am, v'yamod ben ha'mesim uven ha'chaim. That Moshe was taught by the Malach HaMavis the secret of Ketores, and how the Ketores could stop a plague, as it does over there in Bamidbar Perek Yizayin. And where did Moshe learn how to control life and death to stop a plague? V'yi lav da'amr lei mina yada. Had he not heard it from the Malach HaMavis himself, how would he know such a thing? So it must be that even the Malach HaMavis, amongst the other angels, gave him a gift when Moshe proved himself worthy of Torah. Okay, that's the Gemara, an amazing Gemara. Again, one of these just fantastic agaratas. And the Maharal, again, as we've seen many times, is going to go step by step. He's going to dissect each piece of the agarata, what exactly the angel's complaint was, and what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu's response was. And we'll have a much deeper appreciation for this fantastic Gemara. Okay, so let's see. So this Gemara comes to explain an answer to our opening question, which is, how could a human being receive a Torah? It seems like the worst shidduch possible. Ki e afshar shelo hayel Moshe hachano ubechina shayim misala bein alyonim v'yedeze hayim akabel haTorah. We understand on a certain level that Moshe Rabbeinu is more than just a regular human being. The fact that Moshe was able to ascend to the heavens to even have this conversation shows that he has a shaychus, he has some connection to the Elyonim. He has a place, so to speak, in the upper realms. V'davar zen is ba'er kvar. This idea has already been explained. We touched on this earlier. That Moshe is sort of half man, half angel. That Moshe is part human and part godly. I use that word carefully. Right? We spoke about how Moshe serves as that emtzei, as that middleman, as that intermediary between the higher realms and the lower realms. He brings the Torah down to the world. He's the one who's back and forth between the top of the mountain and the bottom of the mountain. Moshe elevated himself to the point that he has access to the Elyonim. That Moshe, if there's anyone who could somehow go up there and yet at the same time be worthy to bring it back down to here, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He has a connection in the Elyonim. He's also unbelievably dedicated to the Tachtonim. But when he shows up, the angels look at him and they say, we get it, you're a holy guy, but you're a human being. And for all of your nevuah, like we learned several parakim ago, and for all of your humility, like we learned in the previous parak, Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, you're still a Yalud Isha. You're still the byproduct of a woman of flesh and blood. You're a created being. Umivnei ki Moshe haya Yalud Isha, ve'ein li Yalud Isha shituf im elyonim umadregasam. They tried to ridicule Moshe. They said, okay, you want to tell me you have a very lofty soul? That's nice. But come on, you have a body. You come from a woman. You were born into this world, to the lower realm. And a person who's born in the lower realm is not born into the upper realm. She'ein shayach behem yulud isha. What does that mean? Why do they keep calling him? Why do they say specifically, Moshe, you're born to a woman? Obviously, everyone who's ever been born was born to a woman. What's the chiddush of yulud? Why don't they just say that you're a human being? Why are they saying you're a yulud isha? Ratza lomar, bal chomer. By saying you're a yulud isha, they were saying to Moshe, you're a bal chomer. You're a person who's what? Who's of the physical world. Now, how is that contained in the word yulud isha? Shezeh nikri yulud isha. That's called born to a woman. Why? Vehema nivdalim. What is the nature of a woman? So, in the footnotes of the edition that I'm using, it quotes from the Maharal's Drush al Torah. The difference between, let's say, a woman and a malach is that a woman is a makabel and a malach is a mashpia. Right? We know, let's talk about just male and female for a second. In the male-female spiritual and also physical, biological dynamic, right? The man is mashpia and the woman is makabel. What does that mean? That means in the creation of a child, the man is mashpia his zera, and it's that seed that fertilizes the woman's egg, allowing the birth of a child, allowing a human being to be created. The woman is makabel the zera. It then forms inside of her till the point that 9 months later a child is able to be born into this world. So the man represents sort of that raw potential, and the woman is the one who actually forms it in the sense of chomer. She turns it into something. She takes the substance and turns it into something more. So that's called chomer. She takes that little drop of zera, that little drop of seed, and she's able to what? She's able to form a child inside of her. She's made up, Ezra Hashem, of arms and legs and eyes and a heart and a mind and a kidneys, right? It's made up of many parts. So a woman receives and then is able to work in that realm of what? Of forming physicality of chair. What about angels? Angels are top down. Angels are shpiyim. Angels are not makablim. Now the irony, I think, of this whole idea is that it's dafka because that we're born to a woman, and therefore the angels are mocking us, saying, well, you have a certain feminine quality, right? You're on the receiving end. You're not an influencer like an angel. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response is sort of, right, that's why I deserve to receive the Torah. Because the Torah is being gifted to one who's able to receive. And Moshe, again, being the humble person that he was, made himself the most perfect kli to be able to be on the receiving end. But the angels are trying to say, the basic way that they're trying to mock Moshe Rabbeinu is they're saying, you come from flesh and blood. You're a Baal Chomer. At the end of the day, you have a body. And we are Nivdal. We are spiritual. We don't have physical bodies. We don't eat and drink. We don't procreate like human beings. We don't use the bathroom like human beings. Right? We're Nivdal. We're abstract. We're transcendent. You're physical. You're earthly. You're worldly. So how did this one who represents the world of physicality, how did he enter a world that is transcendent? So Moshe says back to them, what do you mean? I'm here to receive the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you don't understand who I am. You think I'm only what? You think I'm only a person of the Tachtonim? I'm a person who has Shaychus to the Elyonim as well. I'm here to get the Torah, to bring it from the Elyonim to the Tachtonim. So the angels say, I don't understand. What do you mean? The Torah is something that preceded creation itself. The Torah is beyond man. It's not. It should be out of reach. How did you get here? Moshe is trying to explain. They're trying to say, you're a human being. Moshe is saying, but I'm also from the Elyonim. I'm also an Ish Elokim. I'm an Ish, but I'm Elokim. I'm godly. And they keep saying, what do you, no. You were created in the 6 days of creation. The Torah preceded creation. What are you doing here? Va'Torah. All physical matters were created in the 6 days of creation. But Torah, which is again the pure mind of Hashem, the pure spiritual ideas of Hashem, the Torah is what is above that. It's Madrega is Al Hateva. It transcends nature. It's not bound by nature. It's not within the rules of Teva. It's not within physicality. And the proof is the fact that Hashem organized, arranged, prepared the Torah before there was a physical world. What specifically is this number? Umasha Amru Tuf Kuf Ayin Dalid Doros. Dafka Kodem Shnivra Olam. What is the secret of this number that Hashem created the Torah 974 generations prior to creation? Davarze Mevuar Bechibur Ber Hagola. I explain in my other Svarim in the Sefer Ber Hagola. Ve'ein Kan Mekomo. And here is not the place to elaborate on this. Now, again, in the footnotes of the edition that I'm using, he says, I did not find this idea in the Maharal's Ber Hagola. But it is found in his Nesiv HaBusha, in his Nesiv on Busha, in his discourse on Busha, on shame and embarrassment. He writes over there, Maral explains that really the Torah should take a thousand generations to receive. Davar Tziva LeElef Dor. It should really take 1,000 generations to get the Torah. Somehow, and again, it's a good question. What that means, Hashem wanted, and Klal Yisrael somehow got themselves ready in 26 generations. 26 generations, 26 obviously is a very significant number. It's the gematria of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So there were 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, and 6 generations from Avraham to Kabbalah Satorah. 26 generations from the time of creation until Kabbalah Satorah. So what did Hashem do to make that possible? Again, if in a certain sense there needs to be 1,000 generations before the Torah can be given, so Hashem, so to speak, pushed back the Torah 974 generations before creation, and then from the time of creation you would only need 26 more generations to be mekabel the Torah. Okay? So the point that the angels are making is that, listen, the Torah is just bigger than this world. It's kodem the world. It's way before the world. It's many, many hundreds of generations before the world. And therefore, sof, kamosha Torah sechel gamar, rechoka himen ateva, just like the Torah, which again is the mind of Hashem, the pure neshama of ideas, is so far removed from the physical world, And that's why the Torah preceded creation of physicality by so many generations. Achehi b'seder kodem ha'olam, ein roi l'seis osa l'vasar adam shehu tivi. So it's just another way of the angel saying, so then therefore, if the Torah is so spiritual that Hashem created it so far in advance of the physical world, so then I just don't get it. So then why did Hashem at some point decide he's going to give it to the physical world? And you'll tell me Moshe is very pashut, he's very humble, he has perfect simplicity like we learned in the previous parak. So first of all, again, Moshe is just the middleman. He's got to give the whole Torah to each and every one of us, and we're much more physical. Right? But even so, the bottom line is, even if you want to tell me that Moshe is an Ish Elokim, but he's an Ish. He's a Yolud Isha. He's born to flesh and blood. An Isha is a Makabel. An Isha is of the lower realms. And the Malachim say, we're of the higher realms, and the Torah is of the higher realms. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to us that Moshe should be able to receive the Torah. Okay, so we'll have to see next time. We'll try to understand a little bit more about Moshe's defense. Right, what's Moshe's response? How does he, so to speak, prove to the angels by giving all these Olam Haza examples of we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and we live amongst idol worshippers, and we work 6 days of the week, and we are involved in business pursuits, and we have biological parents, and we're the ones who are tempted to, God forbid, to murder or to steal or to be jealous or to commit acts of adultery. And none of it's relevant to you, angels. But all of that seems to just further highlight the fact that we're physical. And that should move us farther away from the Torah. So obviously the punchline in some remarkable and paradoxical way is going to have to be that our physicality is dafka the reason Hashem gives us the Torah. And that's, you can start to understand, you know, why the Maharal is such an important piece in the development of Chassidus. Because Chassidus, again, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's greatest desire is to want us to have a dira in the tachtonim. Hashem wants to bring His light, as it were, down into the lowest elements. So the more human you are, the more appropriate you are for Torah. But that's very paradoxical. The angels can't wrap their heads around that. Why would I want to ruin the Torah on a person who has all these taivas and has all these physical constraints? Why would I want to waste the Torah on such a person? Okay, so next time we'll see how Moshe defends. All right? Questions, comments?